We are the disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen. Because the things that he has hidden from the wise and the prudent, he is revealing unto us. He said, henceforth, I call you no longer as servants, but I call you my friends. Because no master reveals his heart to his servants, but I have shown you all things that my Father has shown me. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We will recall that the Lord has been very kind to us. He's been teaching us quite a lot of things. Yesterday we began to look at the foundations of the doctrine of Christ, and we looked at so many things. We looked at the fact that it is basic that we must repent from dead work. Do we have to remind us what we agreed yesterday? We had an agreement yesterday that we will not just keep quiet. Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord. That we must all repent from dead works. And that dead works are those things that do not produce fruit unto God. Amen. Whatever does not produce fruit, it has no spiritual dividend. That thing is regarded as barren and dead. And we looked at quite a number of them as we went to the scriptures. We found quite a number of these things. That was yesterday. We were looking at what scripture? That yesterday. Where did we find all these? No, I want somebody to say. You know, in primary school, some of us didn't know how to say the multiplication table. But every day, the teacher made us recite 2 times 1, 2. So those of us that didn't know, we just stand in the crowd. We just... So, we don't want that. If you know it, you raise your hand and you tell us. Where did we find it in scripture? Yes, sister. Galatians chapter 5, verse. Okay. Amen. So we took it down and we saw all these. Praise God. Hallelujah. So we must repent from all these. Drunkenness. That's one other one you didn't put, brother. Revelings. Revelings. Amen. Revelings. Another word for it is rioting. Bible speaks of them that riot in the daytime. Praise God. Hallelujah. Those that know what ought not to be done, and they go on and do it. They decide to be orderly, disorderly, openly, not afraid, brazenly. I remember many years ago, we were at a camp meeting like this at Alo. And bro, Ida and I, we were just walking past. And we saw this young man. They were sitting in the gutter, dry gutter, clean dry gutter. They were just sitting there by the edge with their legs inside. And openly, this young man was carrying the girl on his laps and misbehaving. So we walked to them and said, come, what's going on here? What are you doing? The girl said, hey, didn't I tell you? And then they separated. Amen. That's a form of rioting in the daytime. Amen. Balaam gave Balak a counsel against the people of God, because he found it impossible to curse them because they were blessed of God. So he told him that there's no way of cursing these people. You can't penetrate unless you get them to sin against their God. Amen. Amen. And Balak took that counsel, and they sent their young girls to begin to come to the camp of Israel and to invite them to their parties And their parties were where they worshipped their gods. Just like today, parties are places where they worship the mermaid spirit. Amen. The spirit of whoredom, the people don't know. So they went there and they learned evil. They begin to practice whoredom and they began to worship the gods that those people worshipped. And the anger of God came upon Israel and a plague came and people began to die in a great number. And so Israel came out and began to weep and pray and cry and repent. While they were doing that, a young man just returned from party holding the girl and they walked through the camp brazenly in the eyes and sight of everyone. And they went into their tent and they began to sing. But there was this brother called Phinehas. He just could not take that. So he took his javelin. You know, today, in sports, you throw javelins. You don't know what it means. It was a weapon of war. Amen. So he took his javelin and he went straight into that tent. And he just saw the man. He struck the man on his back. The Bible says he went through his back, went through the tummy of the girl to the ground. And they died. Amen. Now, that thing they did was an example of rioting in the daytime. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, we want to make progress and we come into, let's flip back to Hebrews chapter 6 again. I want to pick it from verse 1 again. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. Verse 2. Of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead. Praise God. So we want to zero in upon the matter of the resurrection of the dead. That was where we stopped it yesterday. And we said that when we come today, we'll continue from there. So the resurrection of the dead. We said resurrection, there is one word to capture it. What was that word? Change. Amen. Why do we say that? 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 51. Behold. Amen. The word behold means see, look. Amen. And in teaching us how to learn well in the classroom, it is said that you must be listening for certain words from your teacher. When your teacher says, see, if you were playing with something or you were writing, look up. If he says, look, raise your head and look at him. Amen. Now, if he says, look, you look at him, he's not showing anything, check around in the material you're reading. There is something key. Or listen properly, there's something important he wants to say. Amen. So, Brother Paul said, behold. That's look, pay attention. I open up a secret thing to you. I am demystifying something that has been a mystery. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Amen. Some people believe that what is going to happen, like a man said, that the world is a stage. Every man will act his own part and live. And he said, act well your part, for there the honor lies. In other words, the honor lies in what you are able to do right here that men can see. After that, it is decay. You die, and there everything ends. But that's not correct. Amen. Because we shall not all die. Praise God. But what is going to happen is that we shall all, as many as walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall all be changed. Praise God. So when we talk about resurrection, it is not about flying in the air. It is about change. He's changing. He's changing me from earthly things to the heavenly. His likeness and image to perfect in me the love of God sent to the world. He's changing me. In other words, he is resurrecting me. Amen. Hallelujah. Because what we call life now is actually death. What we call life now is actually death. Praise God. There was a man that lived this present life 969 years and he died. Amen. Bible says that a time is coming when the government of Christ will start. The fullness, the full manifestation of the government of Christ will begin. And we shall reign with him 1,000 years. That is to say, for the first time, we will taste life for one full day. Because a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day before God. Amen. Now, those who are going to reign with him, who are going to experience that one day life, are those that have been changed into his image. Praise God. So why we are gathered here is that we have come to submit ourselves to the process of resurrection. Amen. We have come to yield ourselves. That's what God wants to do. Because he told us, if we remember, he said in Jude, that the Lord will come with tens of thousands of his saints to execute judgment upon the ungodly, 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 ungodly. Hallelujah. And the only way you can escape that judgment is that you are part of those who are executing that judgment. Praise God. And God in his mercy is drawing a people near to bring them to resurrection. Praise God. Because those are those that will worship him, that will do his will. He says that the dead cannot praise Jah. The carnal man cannot do the will of God. The carnal man is an unfruitful man. The carnal man is a dead man. And God is calling us to life. Amen. He says this is how it will happen. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. Amen. What is last trump? You blow a trumpet. You blow. Then you blow the last one. Param. That's the last one. The last trump. Amen. He explains. He said, for the trumpet shall sound. And the trumpet is sounding. It's been sounding, and it's sounding more and more, and it's getting louder and louder, and it's getting more and more distinct. Hallelujah. Another scripture says, if the trumpet does not make a distinct sound, who will prepare for war? So, as the day gets closer and closer, the Lord is making the trumpet to become more and more distinct. The sound is getting clearer and clearer. Hallelujah. Many things have been said in the trumpet sound. It had come in muffled sounds. Amen. Some of the things were blown in wrong tunes. Praise the Lord. But it's getting clearer and clearer. He says, and the dead shall be raised. Amen. Amen. So, we try to say what resurrection is. Resurrection we say it means change. It means the dead raised. Amen. Amen. The dead shall be raised. Now, we need to expand our understanding of the word dead, or the expression the dead. We need to expand it very well. If we don't, we will not understand what God is saying. Praise God. Bible says that a woman that lives in pleasure is dead while she is alive. Amen. So some people you see walk past you, they are dead. Hallelujah. And we need to check ourselves too. Because the devil could deceive us. And we think because we wake up in the morning, we walk to the market and we come back, go to work, drive back, we think we are alive when we may be dead. Hallelujah. Then the person whom the doctor certifies dead could be dead. He could also be alive. Amen. The doctor has checked him. He says, sorry. That's how doctors tell you that the person is dead. When they check the person, they come and tell you, sorry. And they walk very fast and go away. Amen. So, that person could be dead, truly. He could be alive. Praise God. So, some people are said, sorry, certified dead. But they are asleep. Not dead. Some others are walking around running on the sports track. And people say, oh, that man is alive. But he is dead. They're saying that the dead shall be raised. Amen. Amen. So the person that they said is dead shall be raised. Now, some of us are dead. Seated here, some of us are dead. Dead in sins and trespasses. Hallelujah. But the Lord is saying that there is a smell of water here. And so there is hope of life. Hallelujah. So resurrection is for the people who are walking around. It's for the people who are asleep. So we must get that very clear. Praise God. So, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So, when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, the dead being raised. What is it talking about? Somebody dead being raised. Now, there are things mentioned here as to what it means. The type of raising from the dead we are talking about here is a transition. That's a brother that has gone to glory. His name is Austin T. Sparks, or T. Austin Sparks. He gave a word that is titled The Great Transition from One Humanity to Another Humanity. Amen. Hallelujah. So resurrection is that transition, movement from one humanity to another humanity. I hope you know what transition means. Have you heard mass transit?
Bayelsa mass transit. Mass transit is the movement of people en masse from one location to another location. So, Brother Sparks was saying there are two types of humanity. One humanity, another humanity. And that there is a movement taking place. Moving men from one humanity to another form of humanity. Brother says called it metamorphosis. Amen. Change taking place. Like what takes place in the butterfly. It is transformed from one type of dirty looking worm. Then it goes into the cocoon, and the change keeps going on. One day it opens up and you see a beautiful butterfly. Amen. Hallelujah. Like the transition that takes place in a baby, so small, everything so small. You don't want to carry the baby, except people like Estilo that want to always carry. You don't want to carry the baby because you think if you hold the baby, you will crush the thing. But little by little, there's no day they take him to somewhere and they take out the small legs and put longer legs and everything. But you see, you don't know how it's happening. You don't know how it's happening. And the person is getting bigger until you now have an adult. Amen. One day, you see your little baby is now getting married. Amen. That's a transition. Transition from childhood to adolescence to adulthood. So, great transition from one humanity to another. Now, this one humanity is corruptible humanity. Amen. Humanity that is subject to corruption. And he is moving over to another form that is called what? What did the Bible say there? Did you read that place with me? Come on. You are not giving us the place. Amen. Brethren, do you know where we were reading? Where were we reading? 1 Corinthians 15. Where did we stop? What did he say there? Verse 53. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. In other words, there is a change from corruptible to incorruption. Amen. You know, in Nigeria, when you say corruption, it means stealing money. Amen. But corruption is a simple word that means decay. Getting rotten. So that when people steal money, they are getting rotten. Amen. Amen. Now let's take it physically. Change from a corruptible state to a state of incorruption. You know that every man now is subject to corruption, physically speaking. It is easy to know. That is why it is a routine thing. You are taught from childhood that when you get up in the morning, you brush your teeth, brush your mouth. Amen. Because if you do not do that, for some days, you lose many of your friends. No one wants to sit with you in conversation. Because that type of aroma that comes from a corpse begins to come from you. You need to take your bath. If you don't bath, that aroma will begin to show. And after a while, if it goes on for a long while, you begin to actually have sores. You have rashes first. Then they will begin to be sores. If it continues, it will become another thing altogether. That means you are decaying while alive. Amen.
In some places, they bewitch people, or they say they bewitch people and give them a disease called achere. I don't know whether you've heard it before. That person is alive. Then, part of the body, maybe the legs, will begin to decay. Just decay. The more you try to cure it, the more it will be decaying. Amen. And part of the skin will begin to fall off. The bones will begin to show. And the person will finally die. Because that person is subject to decay. Amen. But we are talking about a condition of living where somebody cannot decay. The glory of God fills a man's life, that nothing makes him decay, physically and spiritually. Now there is spiritual decay. Certain people have believed in Christ, walked in the way of the Lord, then their spiritual lives begin to decay. Amen. They begin to get involved in things that you will be surprised. Those such people have not continued in the process of resurrection. Hallelujah. They are changing backwards. Amen. Amen. They are changing backwards. They are decaying the more. But there is progress into the life of Christ. That is corruption. Sorry, that is incorruption. That is resurrection. When this mortal body shall have put on immortality. That's the next thing. Amen. Mortal. Mortal. What does it mean? Mortal. When we say that somebody is mortal, what does it mean? This mortal man, your people call him, what do they call it? Mortal. Mortal man. Amen. Mortal man. Mortal man. What does it mean, brethren? Huh? Mortal man. Yes. Human being, man that can die. So the opposite is immortal or immortality. So this mortal will put on immortality. That is a state of undyingness. Amen. This body that can die will undergo a change, and is undergoing a change now. And the ultimate, the fullness of it, is that he can no longer die. Praise God. Hallelujah. Some people will get into that condition while yet physically alive. Some will die and go into that condition. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Some people have died and resurrected. We want to see the difference between that and this one we are talking about. Some people died and resurrected. Some people actually died and were raised from the dead. Can we remember some of them in the Bible? Yes, sister.
Lazarus.
Thank you. So Lazarus was one. Yesterday we read about Lazarus, didn't we? About Lazarus. How he died and had stayed 4 days in the grave. And Jesus came and said, Lazarus, come forth. And he bounced out. Amen. Now that's a mighty thing. It's not a joke. Praise God. Hallelujah. Somebody has died, stayed 4 days in the grave. They have buried him. They had covered him up. Jesus said, roll away the stone.
Oh boy, come out. And he bounced out. Hallelujah. That's the power of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's a mighty power. We're going to talk about the power. One of the greatest powers is the power of resurrection. Amen. Was he the only person in the Bible? Yes. Sorry? Jairus' daughter. Thank you. I'm so happy. Brethren know their scriptures. Okay. Jairus' daughter. Amen. Jairus' daughter was sick. And he came to plead that Jesus should heal her. People came and said, don't worry. She is dead now. Sorry. That's the end of the story. Jesus said, hey, don't listen to them. Don't worry. And he went there and they had gathered those that weep. They are professional mourners. In some places, there are professional mourners. They had gathered them and they were doing that. Jesus said, why are you doing this? The young girl is not dead. She is sleeping. Bible said that they laughed him to scorn. When my children were much, much younger, there's a song they had. The singer was quite melodramatic. So in his song, he told this story. And he said that when he said that she was sleeping, they said, who does he think he is? Get him out of here! Let's get him out of here. The Bible said Jesus didn't mind them. He went and told the young girl. Her name was what? Oh no, he didn't say the name. He told her, Talita. Kumi. Talita means damsel or young girl. Rise. Kumi. Amen. When we were in school, one senior said, if you try me, Marco try Talita Kumi. Amen. That's he will beat you until people have to do Talita Kumi for you. Amen. That's Jairus' daughter. It was only those two.
The widow's son.
The widow's son. Widow of Nain. Amen. Amen. Yes, widow's son. You know the city of Nain. This lady, the husband died. That was quite a sad thing. She had only one consolation. This her only son. Then not long after, to worsen the matter, this son also died. So it was quite sorrowful, and they were thronging out of the city to go and bury him. But as they were going out, Jesus was coming in. Hallelujah. And our prayer today is that in our various death situations, let Jesus be coming in. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And Jesus met them, and he reversed the situation. May the Lord reverse this situation in our lives. In the name of Jesus. Let resurrection come in. So he told the young man, arise. And he rose up and came down from the bier. You know what is bier? Not beer. They were carrying him on a platter. That's something like a long platter. Where they keep the dead. When somebody dies, they will wash the person, wrap him with cloth, and lay him on a platter, and they'll carry him and go to bury. Amen. So he came down from there. That's the widow's son. And he lived. Is that all? Sister Dorcas. Yes. Yes, go on. Give her the microphone, please. Be fast. See the sister there. Yes. Oh, huh? That's her.
Dorcas.
Dorcas. Amen. Hallelujah. She had another name. What's the other name? Tabitha. Okay, so Sister Dorcas died. And God raised her from the dead.
Amen. I had an auntie that was called Dorcas. I never liked that name. I continue to wonder why she should be called Dorcas, because it sounded to me like to tear something apart. Amen. Because, you know, the name was, she was not actually called Dorcas. She was called Dorcas. So it sounds like Dorcas to tear something. Hallelujah. Now, which fellowship is Sister Dorcas in now? Is it Owerri Fellowship? Sister Dorcas that rose from the dead, where is she fellowshipping now? Brebere, she's in your fellowship. Amen. She's not here anymore. What happened to her? She died. Mm-hmm. And all these men, Lazarus, Jairus' daughter, widow's son, Dorcas, all of them have died. Amen. Praise God for resurrecting them. Praise God for the gains, the benefits that came to them as a result of coming back to life. Thank God for the benefits the church reaped from there. Thank God for the glory it gave to God. But the conclusion of the matter is that they are dead. Amen. Now, there is no difference between that, their state now, and the state of the person who died 5 years ago, or the person that died and never came back to life. They are all dead. Amen. Amen. What's the difference between that and the resurrection we're talking about? The difference is here. Amen. All four of them, they came back to life, but they came back into corruption. They came back into mortality. Yes, they rose from the dead, but when they rose up, they found that there were still people who could die. And they actually died to show you that they were still mortal. But we are talking about resurrecting into immortality. Hallelujah. Bible says that we are called into a special class of priesthood. The priesthood of an endless life. Hallelujah. Endless life. Eternal life. There are all ways of saying resurrection. Praise God. We used to sing a song in primary school. Eternal, eternal life, eternal, eternal life. I want to live eternal life. God save my soul. I want to live eternal life. God save my soul. We didn't know what it means. I'm sure it's SU people that brought those songs. We didn't know what we were singing. We're just singing. When we begin to sing it, we sing it towards close of school. So when you are singing, you are thinking about the food you're going to eat in the house. Let them do it quickly. It meant nothing. But this is what it means. And that's the whole essence of salvation. Amen. It says, we are of them that believe unto the saving of the soul. The saving of the soul is resurrection, eternal life, immortality, endless life. Praise God. So that's what makes difference. This matter of incorruption, immortality, that's what makes the difference. So now, that begins to bring the picture clearer as to what we mean by resurrection. Resurrection is not the same thing as flying away. Amen. And Bible did not teach it. What Bible taught is what? Resurrection. And that's what the Lord is leading us to look at. That's God's program for us. Amen. Because after that, the next thing there is eternal judgment. God wants to resurrect a people as a way of delivering them from the judgment that is coming upon the ungodliness in the world. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1 to 4. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Amen. During the Biafran War, we believe that what that scripture meant was, if the enemy planes bomb our house and it is destroyed by the bomb, don't worry, we have another house in heaven. Amen. Because that our house we're living in was our earthly life, our earthly house. That earthly house, meaning the house we have here on earth. Amen. You know how we can misunderstand the scriptures? But that is, it wasn't talking about physical house like this one. Amen. Amen. It's talking about this house made of earth. This house made of dust. This house made of earth. Some people here are not good students. I'm saying this house, nobody is looking up, or some people are not looking up to see which house I'm talking about. So they will go home, they won't know which house. They will think it's this house. Look up so that you know the house. This house that is made of clay. Amen. That sister there, has she written school certificate? This one. Have you written work? You must learn how to learn. Amen. When your teacher says this, don't put down your head. Wake that sister there. Look up. We're saying this house, and you're looking down, so you don't know which house. Amen. We're saying that this house is made of earth. Earth, dust, soil. That's what God used in making Adam. So this is soil. That is why it can decay. But when it undergoes resurrection, it becomes what is called the glorious body of Jesus Christ. Amen. Which cannot decay. So this scripture we have read now says that if this house is destroyed, there is another house in heaven. In other words, if this body is destroyed by death, there is another spiritual body. A heavenly body. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. So, let's go back there. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan. In this house, we are groaning because there is a lot of discomfort in this house. You know, some people, their houses leak. Amen. I visited a woman that was a widow and had many little children in our village. Now her children have grown. She used to live in a rickety mud house, a Christian. But now her children have grown and they have built a brick house with zinc. So I visited her and I say, "Dad, God is doing you good." He said, "My brother, it's not a small thing. Let me tell you the life I passed through." He said, "In that my house, you did not know. But I had waterproof. In the night, during the rains, when I lie down, I will use waterproof to wrap myself. And it will be raining and water will be pouring on top of my waterproof. I'll just be inside there." Amen. So in that house, she was groaning. It was not a comfortable house for her. She was groaning in it. Amen. Until God has swept away that house and has given her another house in which she is happy, she is no longer groaning. Amen. Now in this house, we groan. Let's take it from the physical first. In this house, we must maintain it. If this message goes on for too long now, some of you will begin to murmur. Because your tummy will begin to ask you questions. And murmur too, your mom will say, amen. Because you must service it. And if there is no food, you are very uncomfortable. Amen. That's this type of house now. But there is another house we will live in, where we will be eating the glory of God. Hallelujah. Paul said, kept by the power of God. Amen. Like here now, this building is run by that generator. The generator itself is run by diesel, but kept by the power of God. That is operated and run by the power of God. Hallelujah. That's the new house we are going to live in. Let's go on a little so that it becomes clearer. For in this we do groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. Mark the word clothed. And we go on. For so, if so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Amen. Amen. We're going to look at that expression. But as you read that, what do you hear? Cloth, being clothed, being unclothed. That's what you hear. He's saying, we're expecting another house from heaven that we will wear. That's what he means. God, please, forbid. Let it not be that after I have worn my house, I will still be naked. Some people will still be naked. Amen. Because they have prepared deceit for themselves. You know, it says, if you sow unto the wind, you reap what? A whirlwind. Amen. And if you sow unto corruption, you reap what? Corruption. Amen. So at the end of it all, some people are going to find out that they don't have any house. When it is time to wear something, they will wear nakedness. Like that king that was deceived. They deceived him that they were making a type of glorious royal apparel that no one had ever seen before. So only good men see it. Bad men cannot see it. So that day the man carried nothing. Carried it. And came and brought to the king. The king saw and said, shoo. So my bad deeds have shown, really. I'm not seeing any cloth, which means I'm a bad man. And being the hypocrite he is, he pretended that he was seeing. He said, that's a fine one. That's a fine one. But he was not seeing anything. He said, let me dress you. So they removed his clothes and began to take time to dress him in nothingness. And after that, they put him on his royal horse to go and have a ride in the city with his new glorious garment. And the king was really naked riding. Amen. That's what he's saying here. That when we are talking about putting on our new house, our prayer is, God, let it not be that when I am clothed, I am really not clothed, I'm naked, deceived. The prayer is that, hallelujah, that we should be clothed upon. That's the prayer of those who are yet alive here, praying to God. They are not waiting for the time they are dead first. They're saying, while I am here, let glory come upon me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let it be that I am changed while I am yet here. Praise God. Are we understanding it? Is it making any meaning? Amen. Wake the sleeping person beside you. Hallelujah. Amen. So, let's push it. Verse 6. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with God. Amen. Now let's look at this thing, swallowed up of life. Praise God. Now what is happening at this present time is that death is swallowing up life. Amen. Death, darkness, sin, corruption, immorality, they are all the same. And it is swallowing up life. I'll give you an example. One day in my village, a woman raised her voice and shouted, "Ezeal Ali, Ala Rolanu." Calling Ezeal that. An abomination has happened. Oh, see what I'm seeing. People looked. What did they see? A young man was holding the hand of another girl, of a girl, and they were walking. Amen. This young man and this girl are related. That is incest. You understand? Just by holding the hand, and they were walking, this woman raised an alarm. Say, "Come and see what I'm seeing. Just see what I'm seeing. Abomination. A young man is holding her sister by the hand." Amen. Now these days they will embrace and they will kiss. Nobody will move. Nobody will say anything. Amen. My cousin got pregnant. She wasn't married. She got pregnant. They hid her in the room. People thought she was not in the village. They hid her in the room until the negotiation was concluded for the man to come and take her away. Whether pay price or not, just take her out of sight. She was hidden so that nobody would see. But now, girls, single girls, are married. They wear trousers. And they wear something that stops here. So the tummy is extended. And they are walking boldly in the streets, going about normal life. Nobody is moved. Amen. That shows the extent to which death is swallowing up the little life that people have. Amen. You know, we were driving one day on this Aba Road, and cars were slow, just moving like this. We didn't know what was happening. When we got there, we saw a man dead, lying there. You know, people just look and pass. Amen. Now read your Bible. When Joab killed Amasa? As soon as that man died, Bible says any man that got there stopped. Any person that got there stood. Amen. In those days, how you knew that something has happened around is that everybody was still alive and be looking towards the corner. You say, What happened? Nobody will even say anything. Say, "What happened?" Nobody will tell you. They'll just be looking. You also will look. Everybody will see. Everybody will just feel so sad. But these are people just they just keep going. If you slow down your car, say, "Oh boy, move that car now. What did they do you? You never see that body before." Because people's sensitivity is dead. Death is eating up humanity and doing that very fast. Amen. But at the same time, something is happening in the lives of men. Life is eating up, swallowing up, overwhelming death. Hallelujah! And the wonderful thing, the beautiful thing about us is that we are a class of people that this is the process working in us. That death is being swallowed up by life. Hallelujah! So that's what Brother Paul is talking about here. A time or a situation where death is swallowed up of life. Verse 4, let me read it again. "For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened. We have a burden and we are praying and crying. Not that we should be unclothed. What we are crying for is not that we should die physically. Amen. Hallelujah. But what we are crying for is what? To be clothed upon. That mortality might be swallowed up of life. In other words, while we are yet alive, eating rice and doing things, something is happening to us that will bring about a situation that today somebody will see me, a mortal man. Next minute he sees me, he's seeing an immortal man, and he may not know it. Hallelujah. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we shall all fly. No, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we shall be changed. Mortal man becomes immortal. Praise the Lord. That's what the Bible teaches. Now let's move from there. We are considering the thought of how do you come into a life of immortality. Amen. I call it partaking of resurrection. And I like to explain that word, partaking. I like explaining it. Partaking is taking part. Parts taking. Amen. Taking part. If you begin to do that to some English words, you discover that they are not so big after all. Partaking means taking part. You take your own part in a thing. Everybody has his own part. You take your own part. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. Amen. There is a portion I have for you in my Father's kingdom. I'm going to get it ready for you. When it's ready, you take your part. Brethren, it's ready. Hallelujah. It's for us to begin to take our part. Some will take their part. Some will not take their part. Amen. Some people will not be able to obtain their part. And so their part will be given to all those who have already obtained. You know that story? You know that story? The one that buried his talent? He said, take that which he has and give it to the other. For unto whom him that has more will be given. Hallelujah. So some will take their part. Some will not take their part. Some will not take their part because of ignorance. Some will not take their part because of carelessness. Some will not take their part because of rebellion. Some will not take their part because they are filled with their own wisdom and ideas. And what God is trying to do is to clear our minds and our hearts, take away the blindness so that we'll be able to see clearly and so that we'll be able to obtain. Paul said, run therefore that ye may obtain. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So let's look at Philippians chapter 3. Philippians 3. Amen. Here, Paul is talking about himself because there were some brethren that were teaching wrong doctrines, saying that unless you get circumcised, you cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Amen. And there were some that were living double lives. One moment they are here, when situation changes, they become a different thing altogether. Hallelujah. Peter had such a problem once, and Paul said that he rebuked him sharply because they have got the revelation and they were practicing and living the life that once you are in Christ Jesus, there is neither Greek nor Jew. No Gentile. No Jew. We are all children of God. So they were having fellowship together as brethren. They ate together as brethren. But at a time, certain people came from Judea. As soon as Peter saw them, He was afraid that they would denounce him. So he withdrew himself from those brethren. He was no longer eating with them. Paul rebuked him for doing that. Amen. He rebuked him because it was a serious matter. Going back to what you had rejected. Praise God. So that's what he's talking about here. In verse 2, he says, beware of dogs. Beware of the of evil workers. Beware of the concision. Concision is mutilation. Beware of mutilation. He was referring to the act of circumcision as mutilation. And he says, beware of dogs. Dogs are known by the fact that they will feel a revulsion and they vomit something out. It's not good. Then they go back and they lick it up again. That's what dogs are known for. So he said, beware of people that live that type of life. And also beware of that type of life for yourself. Amen. We must not go back to the things we have rejected and turned away from. Hallelujah. Some of us say we have turned away from the world. We have rejected the traditions of men. They say that the traditions and what's the other word for culture? Customs. The customs of the people is vain. But when it comes to burial, when it comes to marriage, they succumb and they go back to traditions. Amen. You know, we had an experience once. One brother from around Omok, the father died, was calling us to come and witness the victory that God is giving him here, resisting tradition. And when we arrived, we saw him wearing his... Amen. As soon as he sighted us, he removed it. And he came and stood with us. People began to look at him somehow. So he was just doing like this. They will call him. He will go and whisper. He will come back. So we knew what was happening. They were asking him why he was behaving like this. And we knew he must have been telling them it's these men. So we told him, where are you? Take your this thing and wear. He said, yes, wear it. So he took it and wore. And he brightened up and became very okay. Amen. Then after a while, we withdrew and left. Amen. Now, that's not how life is supposed to be. That's the life of the dog. Let's beware of such things. Amen. We must not go back to the things we have rejected. We must not go back to the life of partying and drunkenness. We must not go back to the cults. I knew a man. He was a sea dog. You know what it means to be a sea dog? Huh? Is he pirate? Yes, he was a sea dog. And he repented. And he became a child of God. But things were getting difficult. And those sea dogs, you know, some of them are in high places, were making him offers. And he began to accept helps of contracts and connections and linkages from them. Today, he is no longer. Hallelujah. We must not be dogs. Praise God. Hallelujah. So let's make progress in this. He goes on. Let's just try and jump a little and go into this main thing. Praise God. So he said that he had things he could boast of. So we are not of them that have anything of the flesh to boast in. Because it's not as if he couldn't boast if he wanted to. But he decided to throw away some of those things. You know, some of us here could have been His Royal Highness today. And they threw away such things. Amen. And they don't mention them. I'm sure they don't even remember them. Because those things are of no value to them. So Paul was saying, if it was that me I could boast, I was circumcised the eighth day. That's verse 5. Amen. Circumcised the eighth day, I am of the stock of Israel. So you people should not think I'm a Gentile. That's why I'm behaving this way and preaching. No, I am of the stock of Israel. To be specific, I am from the tribe of Benjamin. Amen. Now, Benjamin was the tribe that produced the first king in Israel. So I'm of the tribe of Benjamin. So you don't think I am a nobody. Amen. Hebrew of the Hebrews. Touching the law, I'm a Pharisee. touching the law. I'm a Pharisee. I have D.D. And I have D.T.H. You know what that means? Doctor of Divinity plus Doctor of Theology. That's me. I attended seminary. The very best one. I studied right in Rome, in the Vatican. If you think I'm joking. Amen. Now, I'm not saying I really. I'm just telling you what type of thing Paul was saying. Amen. Amen. Concerning zeal, I was persecuting the church. That's what Paul was known for. Amen. Hallelujah. When they were stoning that brother, he ordered them, do it. Bring your clothes, put it at my feet as witness that I'm supporting you. Go on, stone him. Let him die. We won't have this type of people in our society. He didn't finish there. He went and obtained a warrant from the Sanhedrin. Authority to go around. Anywhere you see any Christian, catch him. Throw him into prison. Kill him. Do anything you like. It is me, Paul, that is saying it. So he had the zeal. Amen. Touching righteousness, which is in the law. Blameless. The reason he is preaching faith and grace is not because he was a dirty man. Concerning the law, you could not fault him. Hallelujah. Now see what he says. Next verse. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Amen. You know, I could have been a general overseer. Oh yes. In those days, somebody said, let's start a church. You will be the general overseer. I will be the church secretary. I laughed. I said, that's not the way I'm going. Hallelujah. Some of us here have even started one and closed it up. Hallelujah. Amen. So those things would have been gain. If no other gain, everybody will call you daddy. Amen. When you appear like this. Amen. When you come to a door, they say, no, please, please. Wait, nobody is entering here. I say, please, I am Bishop So. They say, oh my Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. There are a lot of advantages. Money will flow. Oh yes. Amen. That's why they want crowd. They say he's a pastor of a 5,000 member sitter church. Amen. 5,000. So when they gather, if you can hype up the people enough and they bring 1,000, everybody, you have 500,000 naira. Just one sitting. Amen. So if they had a camp meeting like this, meeting morning, evening, for 5 days. Hallelujah. But all those things I would have been gained. He said, I counted them but lost. Yeah, doubtless, I count them dung. Let's see if we can put it in a form that it will be clear. Two types of men exist, even here or in the world. Two types of men. Some are going to experience resurrection. Some are going to experience damnation. Hallelujah. And so we can put up something like this here. I am always drawing something like this because that's one of the principles of God. From the beginning, he said, let there be light. And he said, he separated the light from the darkness. God is always making a separation. Praise God. And one of the things he's teaching us today is to be aware of that separation. Because some of us walk as if everything is nebulous and mixed up. No, God makes a clear separation. Amen. And we must make up our minds which side we will stand. Amen. You know, that's why that song said, move on to the righteous side. Move on to the righteous side. Move on to the righteous side with God. Which means that there is an unrighteous side. God is not there. If God is not there, I'm sure we all are wise enough to know who is there. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. So let's take it that way. And let's see. It says, verse 7. We take number 1. Those things that were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. So we have some people who they see gain. They call it loss. So counting gain as loss. That's a manner of life. Amen. They see what is gain, they count it loss. Amen. Amen. A girl brings an open invitation. Say, the Lord rebuke you. But I say, this guy na mumu. Chai! See, babe, come land for a lap in just the mumu. Amen. So to that person who is saying that, that thing is gain. But the other man counts it loss. If I do this thing, Joseph said, God forbid it that I should commit this sin against my Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Somebody forgot money in your car. A briefcase in your car. You open it full of money. You say, hey, where is the man? Oga, Oga. You pick up and you... So, Oga, your briefcase. Say, oh, my dear. Thank you. He takes it. They say, ha. This man is foolish. What is he expecting in life? If Namia for do quick, you turn. Go the other way. Amen. That is counting gain as loss. That is the life we must live if we want to experience the resurrection. Praise God. Hallelujah. He says, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, my Lord. All things. You allow things to get lost. Jesus said that if somebody wants to take your coat, give him your shirt also. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm very comfortable about this. Bro, sit up, sit up. Don't lean back. Sit up. Praise the Lord. Some people would drag something and they say, if it is dead, I'm ready to die. Over my dead body. It's me and you. We'll dig it. Whatever you want it to get to, I'll follow you. I'll follow you to any point. Amen. But the Lord says, let it go. We need to have understanding. Praise God. Our Father, He cares for us. Do we believe that? So if somebody is snatching something, let go. Because your Father is going to give you back. He's going to give you back. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. A man I know, he had a restaurant at Ido, Lagos. One evening, after his sales, he gathered his money into his bag and crossed the road to board a bus to go home. A young man came and stood by him and said, give me that bag. He said, eh? He said, give me that bag. He said, you're not well. Something is wrong with you. Do you know whom you're talking to? I am Ahiwe. Who told you that I can take my own money and give to my fellow man? Are you mad? The man said, eh? Boy. He fell down. He took the money and went away. He died. He lost his money. But I'm sure if you handed him that money, by now, since that time, he would have made that amount again. Amen. Praise God. So he says, if somebody says, she, come here, you must lead me 1 mile. He said, no problem. Let's go. When the 1 mile finishes, he says, see, let me lead you 1 more, please. And there will be no fight. Amen. Somebody says, you are a fool He says, that's so? That's your opinion. I'll go and ask God. There'll be no fight. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So you are able to give, lay down even your honor. That's the life. Then another one is righteousness through faith. Do we see these things in that place? Do we see these things in that place? I'm coming back to get them. Thank you, brother. Okay, so let's come back to that place. Verse 6. Okay, no, verse 7. We see the first one. But what things were gained to me, those are counted loss for Christ. Have we seen that? Have we seen that? Mm-hmm. Doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. Being ready to lose all things, being very willing to let everything go. And do count them but dung. You know what dung is? Dung. That's a brother asked to find out what dung is. Did you find out? Find out what dung is. Dung. Who is an agri student here?
You have the mic. Give yourself.
Dung. Dung is like the poop from either a cow or any cattle.
Yes. It's called droppings.
The dung.
The dung. Amen. That's dung. So he's saying that the things that would have been so much benefit and gain to him, when he looks at them, he's seeing dung. In another place, he said, none of these things move me. They have no attraction to me. Whereas others find it very attractive. Why? That I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith. Righteousness through faith, not righteousness through the law. Amen. Now, faith here, righteousness through faith here is your belief, your heart, totally given over to Christ, your love for him, causes that you cannot do certain things. It is not because of the law. Praise God. Law says, if you are found doing this, they will give you back seats in the church. Amen. If you do this, they'll ask you to scrape your hair, and you will do penance and wash the church for one whole month. Amen. And they'll make you to stand up in the church. Everybody will see you, say, joy. And you feel so ashamed. Because of that, you don't do those things. But righteousness through faith is righteousness that comes because of your commitment to your Lord, whom you believe in, and your love for him. Because of his life that is working in you, you will not do certain things. Amen. Then, the next one is seeking God. Seeking to know him. Verse 10. That I may know him is one thing. Amen. To have an experience of him. Hallelujah. It's not to know. In those days, who is the mother of Jesus? Mary. You know, one of my friends is a chief now. We're classmates. He was asked in the exam. Exam was oral. Who is the mother of Jesus? He said, heaven. Amen. Hallelujah. That's not what we're talking about. It's not knowing that Mary is the mother of Jesus. Jesus is the Son of God. No, that's not the knowing we mean. Just like we know that... Do you know Buhari? You know Buhari? He's the president of Nigeria. But I know him, but I don't know him. Amen. I don't know his behavior. I don't know the type of food he eats. I've not been to his house. We've not shaken hands. I've not met him face to face. I know his picture. But I don't know him. Amen. Praise God. But you can know somebody. You have eaten with him. You have slept in the same room, the same bed with him. You have driven in the same car with him. You've shaken hands with him. You have known the type of things that can offend him and that will not offend him. You have known his strengths and his weaknesses. You can really say, I know this man. You have given him money before. You have lent him money before. He has lent you money before. And you know how it went. So you know him. Hallelujah. So we are talking about that. I may know him. Knowing Christ. Having a relationship with him. Amen. Experiencing him in your life. Some people know that there is a God in heaven. Almighty God. But they have never witnessed him. They have not witnessed his power. They know that, yes, you have the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has never touched them before. Amen. Those brethren said, if there is any Holy Spirit, we have not even known. Hallelujah. And hands were laid on them. And from that day, they knew the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. That I may know him. I want to taste him. I want to touch him. I want him to feel me. Amen. That I may know him, verse 10. And to know what? To know the power of his resurrection. Hallelujah. The power of resurrection is the power to overcome sin. Praise God. Hallelujah. Bible says, if the spirit of him that raised Jesus from the dead be in you, that same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead shall quicken your mortal bodies. Amen. What does the word quicken mean? Give life. Activate. Give life. That's the same word, resurrect your mortal bodies. And how does it begin? It begins from victory over sin. Hallelujah. It begins from victory over sin. The quickening of your mortal bodies. So it is talking about the working of the Spirit of God to give you victory, give you grace. That's actually what grace means. To some, grace means God looking away and saying, Barama. Amen. You are doing whatever you like. He gets the bad smell of the sin. He turns, so it's my son. It's okay. And he looks away because he's his son. That's not grace. Grace is God looks at you in your bad condition and he gives you an enablement to be able to come out of it. Amen. That is grace. Hallelujah. And it's a part of the process of resurrection. Amen. So that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. You know, Naaman went to the water full of leprosy. He dipped the first time. He came out and looked at himself. The thing, no change. He dipped the second time. He came out, nothing. He could have said to that his servant, you see the type of disgrace you are passing me through. I said, let me go home. This thing is not working. Let's go home, everybody. No, he still dipped again. For as long as that thing was there, he kept dipping. Until the time when he came out, and it was no more. Hallelujah. 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 The power of resurrection. For as long as you are still seeing the process of death, which is sin, because the Bible said that the sting of death is sin, you will keep dipping yourself for resurrection. Amen. The Bible said that we will not go back. Them that go back, he said he would have no pleasure in them. One of the reasons men go back is that the devil tells them and they believe it that it doesn't work. It won't work. See, everybody, no, they say that everybody is pretending. Don't mind them. Everybody is pretending. So, forget this thing. It doesn't work. And so they go back. The Lord said he will have no pleasure. But what does the Lord want from us? That we keep pressing and believing God and pressing and experiencing change after change until our souls are utterly delivered. resurrection happening in the life of a man, finally, is because that man has been undergoing resurrection. Then, one more step. He realizes that it is done. Hallelujah. Jesus walked in the will of God consistently until one day that task that was as if it was going to be too much to do, he said, it is finished. Amen. Hallelujah. In another place, say, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega. Hallelujah. That's what is the hope of the believer. That is the thing after which we are working. Then the next one is conforming to his death. Oh, sorry. The fellowship that I may know and experience the fellowship of his suffering. Hallelujah. Suffering is part of the process to glory. Suffering, godly suffering, is a process that the Lord uses in burning off. In burning off the crusts and rusts of death and sin in the life of a man. Amen. It's like a fiery process, refining process, by which the Lord is taking away all those things. Now, if we shy away from suffering, then we will not fellowship with the Lord. Amen. So, men that are ready to go through the process of his suffering are those that are yielding to resurrection. Praise God. Finally, being made conformable unto his death. Being made suitable to die his death. If we die his death, we shall also have his resurrection. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Now let's look at this other side. This other side. I'm trusting that you were keying in those things for us. Now, on this other side, what do we have? From verse 19. Okay, let's take it from 17. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have seen us for an example. Amen. Now, there are so many people walking, involved in a lot of things, so many ministries, so many men of God, so many big Bibles and collars, so many words being said. Amen. At times, it becomes a confusion. You don't know whether to follow this one or to follow this one. But this brother is boldly saying that you can follow me. Amen. And see the way I walk. Check me out and follow me. Also, follow all men that you see that are walking the way I'm walking. Those are the people you follow. Amen. Now, some people say, well, are you trying to say that all these other ministries and churches are going to hell? Are you saying that? What are you saying? What we are saying? Those that you know that walk as we walk, let them be your example. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, they invited me to a gathering somewhere. It was supposed to be somebody's birthday. God have mercy on me. I don't attend those things, but that day I went. The minister that was invited to preach. As she was on the platform, my head was down all through. Because her gown is this one that has a lot of gathers here that spreads this way. And it ended here. And she was on the platform. But she was a minister of God. Amen. Hallelujah. So, you know the type of people you have as your example. Because the devil can tell you, after all, she's a minister of God, therefore you go and make your own gown that way. Of course, you are following a bad example. Hallelujah. But let's shift from that and go on quickly to what we are talking about. So 18. He said, for many walk of whom I have told you often and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. So here you have those who walk like the enemies of the cross, walking as enemies of Christ. Amen. These people are on the other side. So, if this side is the side for those who are going to experience resurrection, everybody that lives this type of life will experience resurrection, then this other side, which is the opposite, are you still going to ask me, are they going to hell? Don't ask me that. But what I know is that they are not among those experiencing resurrection. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So let's go further. Whose end? Oh, sorry. Okay. Whose end is destruction? Whose God is their belly? So, the next attitude of those who are not walking in the path of resurrection is belly worship. Hallelujah. Belly worship. It is rare that you see the devil come out and say, I am Hillel. I am Satan. It's very rare. Bible says that even the ministers of the devil, they come as what? Angels of light. The devil will tell you that he is the Lord. Now, there was a big problem that Israel had. They were always falling into Baal worship, the worship of Baal, because that's what the nations around were worshiping, Baal. You know what that word Baal means? Lord. Lord. They were worshiping Lord. In fact, there was a story in Israel where a certain young man went and stole the mother's money, gold. The mother was looking for it until she began to curse. So he brought it out. So when the mother saw it was he that took the money, she said, okay, don't worry. Now, you see this money, I dedicate it to you to use to make an ephod, an idol that you use in worshiping the Lord. Amen. So, in Israel, there came such a mixture that they could not differentiate between the worship of the Lord and the worship of Jehovah the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. So, when somebody is not worshiping the Lord, he will not tell you. He may not know. If somebody comes out among a congregation that at least are Pentecostals, for instance, and they say, he says, see, I am a man anointed by the devil, the church will vacate. So he will not tell them that. Amen. Again, certain people are deceived. Hallelujah. So in this worship, belly worship, how does belly worship go? It goes in the form of people turning their backs to God for the purpose of filling their bellies, getting money. Amen. So people will think, they say, what is the latest program we put up to get some money? They say, man, we don't have enough cash again. Let's do some program. Amen. So they do a program and they will give it one big name. Singles Mingle. Amen. And they will have a big show and people will just gather and they will praise God and worship God and they will give offerings. They have got money. Hallelujah. And they will, after that they will have another one. Pastor's birthday. Then they have pastor's birthday. After that, they have pastor mommy's day. Then they have Founders Day. And it's that same pastor that is also founder. Amen. Then after they have Father's Day, fathers will come and give offerings that God has made them father. The money is all going into the man's pocket. And you think that they are doing it for the worship of God? No, no. They are doing it for their bellies. Worship of the belly. Hallelujah. You work in an office, you can also be worshiping belly. Amen. Certain things that you should take a firm stand on. But you know that this man has been furnishing you some money. And if you go hard against him, then that thing will stop coming. And you compromise in it. That is belly worship. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Then, there's a place you go to get contracts. Next time you go, they didn't publish your name. You go in and say, what is happening? So, guy, you have not been. Amen. You say, oh, is that the problem? Come on. And you dole out. That is belly worship. Hallelujah. So who people, their own God is their belly. That is the standard of godliness. Is it going to bring money or is it not going to bring money? Amen. Then, and whose glory is in their shame? That's the next one. Are you taking it? The next one is their glory is in their shame. Things that are supposed to be shameful things, they are proud of them. They steal. Then they boast. Say, no, boy, I knock one mugu today. I told him so and so and so. He brought the money. You can't believe it. He brought the money. And I just check out. Amen. And they're saying it proudly. They're happy. Amen. They steal. Then they take a title. Amen. They tell lies. They say it is intelligence. We used to mark work together with a certain lady. And, you know, if you take some days, just when you pick your pack, you mark, you come and report. You come and report. If you stay long, they send police. They call it WAEC police. They send police after you. They will arrest you. So this lady stayed so long, and we got news at the market center that they had sent police after him, after her. Next time she came, I say, what happened? The police came, you say, yes. I said, so what happened? How did he say, I blew life for them. I told them that I was very sick. And they went away. I said, try. And she was supposed to be a believer. Amen. She was proud to tell me that. She was telling me to show that she was very intelligent, so smart. She blew life for them. Glorying in shame. Hallelujah. When ladies or even men expose their bodies, they are proud. A young man is going, and this place is showing. And he was walking boldly, proud, in the public. Amen. One wore only one flimsy boxers, walking along Umuola Road. It was a very ugly sight. But he was walking boldly. Amen. That's a shame. But he was glorying in it. That's a man that is not undergoing resurrection. He's going towards damnation. Don't emulate them. Some want to emulate them. Some, their standard, I mean, amongst us, standard, not Christ, not God. Amen. Why wouldn't you look for a hairstyle called Paul? Why will it be named after one musician or pop star? Hallelujah. Then he says, who mind earthly things? So the next one is minding earthly things. Then he says, all these people, they are not getting resurrection. What they are getting is, their end is what? Destruction. Praise God. You know, God is merciful. That's why he's showing us these things. That's something called inventory. checklist, self-assessment inventory. In psychology, they will give it to you. Amen. You want to know how your mind works, or how your behavior is, or what your temperament is. So they gave you an assessment, self-assessment. There are questions there. Tick, tick, tick. Do you do this? You tick. Do you do this? You tick. Do you do this? By the time you finish ticking it, you are now aware whether you are choleric or phlegmatic. Nobody will tell you. Amen. So the Lord is giving us this so that we can assess ourselves and know where we are going. You can look at yourself in your own heart and you know where you're going. I can look at myself, I know where I'm going, so that I can reposition. Because resurrection is crucial. Bible says, if it is in this present life that we have hope, we are of all men most miserable. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Am I still with you? We want to go into a very important part. When we finish that, you can ask a lot of questions. Will you sit up? Let's take this part. It's very important. So let's go back to 1 Corinthians 15. Nobody is going back. Flip your Bible. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. If you are there, read for us verse 35. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 35. Who is reading? No one is reading. Yes, brother, read. Give. Okay.
But some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come?
Okay, thank you. Can somebody read with King James? You have King James? Uh-huh. Oh, it was King James you read?
Yes.
Okay, it's all right. I didn't hear you well. Praise God. Okay, so some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And what body do they come? Very important question. How are the dead raised? How does it happen? Amen. 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 How are the dead raised? And with what body do they come? So you can read from 35 to 50. You get the answer. But let's begin from verse 42. Verse 42. The other ones we have skipped, it tells us that there are various types of bodies. If you plant a thing, does it not get decayed? If you plant maize, put it under the ground, it will decay and rot. Amen. But it will come up and produce maize again. With what body does it come? Amen. Hallelujah. So, he said, just in the same way that happens, that is also how the dead are raised. So, in verse 42, so also is the resurrection of the dead. How is this sown? He calls it sowing. Hallelujah. He calls it sowing, planting. So how it is buried and how it is raised. How is it buried? First one. Can we see it? How is it sown? It is sown in corruption. So when somebody is buried, he is buried as a decaying person. And Bible is telling us that person will come back again. Will he still come back as a decaying person? How? He is raised how? In incorruption. Amen. When Jesus died, he was buried. When he came up, he became incorruptible. Hallelujah. Next, 43. Are you giving us 43, brother? It is sown in what? Dishonor. And it is raised in glory. Amen. When somebody dies, that person comes into a state of dishonor. People can now do in front of him what they would not have dared to do if he was alive. If they want to spit at him, they can spit at him. He wouldn't do anything. He wouldn't do anything. Some people, when they die, their enemies dance. And they can't do anything. Amen. So death brings dishonor. So the person is buried in dishonor. The Bible is promising us glory. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, we have limitations as mortal men. Anywhere you want to go, you must look for a means of transportation. If there's no car available, if there's no money, you may not go, even though you want to go. But we are coming into glory where those limitations will not be anymore. Then it's worse for somebody that is even physically dead, because he can't move himself. Something can come and... You know, when somebody dies, they block the nose. Do you know that? Sorry, am I frightening children? They use cotton wool and block the nose. Do you know why they do that? Yes, because of what might come out of the nose. And also because things can crawl in. If you are sleeping, a cockroach cannot go into your nose. Because you're doing... So, when that comes, the thing will run back. Amen. But if you just stay like that, nothing is coming this way. A cockroach or an ant can crawl in. That's great dishonor. Flies can just flow inside. Amen. But we are resurrecting into glory. Hallelujah. Let me tell you some of the glory. Jesus had prayed, said, "Glorify me, Father." And the real glory was in resurrecting, having that victory over death. But something happened. The glory was so much already upon him that these soldiers came, and he came out and said, "Who are you looking for?" He said, "We seek Jesus." And he said, "I am he." Roman soldiers fell on the ground twice. That is a sign of his glory. Amen. The glory of Jesus is such that where they kept him, they used a rock and covered it, and they stationed soldiers there. But when it was time for him to arise, the glory was so much that the soldiers were lying down as dead. Hallelujah. And there was no limitation. Bible says that he came out of the cloth. You know, they wrapped him. They wrapped him. And he came through. And the cloth just flopped down like that. Amen. When the people came in, they did not see the cloth rolled together and dumped somewhere. Because they said that his disciples stole him. If they stole him, they will either carry him away with the cloth, or they quickly pull out the cloth and dump it this way and carry him away. But the cloth was lying there in the form it was wrapped, flopped down. And the body was no longer there because he came through. Do you understand? Hallelujah. Now that's what's going to happen. We're going to come up in glory. Hallelujah. Bible calls it the glorious body of Jesus Christ. Let me see if I will hasten up a little. Then the next one is sown in what? In weakness, it is raised in power. I don't need to talk about weakness, really, concerning a dead person. That's the weakest thing. Amen. Can you imagine somebody that is dead? And they do all the burial preparations. When it's time to put him in the grave, they say, "Oga, Oga, Oya, come and enter." And he'll get up because he's a strong man. And he walks and enters. No, he must be carried because he's so weak. That's just a way of expressing it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now we are weak. That's a weakness, a level of weakness we have. And that's why the ungodly tramp about. Amen. But the power and glory of God is coming. There was this brother that he will enter a factory and people will fall down and begin to cry and repent and confess their sins. That is the glory that is continuously, progressively manifesting in us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. A time is coming when the ungodly cannot stand. He said the sinner will not stand in the congregation of the righteous. That is glory. Amen. Hallelujah. It is sown a natural body. And it is raised a spiritual body. The scripture, if you read earlier, the earlier verse, it says that it's a natural body and that it's a spiritual body. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, to understand what that means, let's first of all, don't close this place yet. Let's first of all look at the book of Luke, chapter 24. Just for bear, let me just touch these areas and I should be winding up. Luke 24. Verse 36. Jesus had been crucified and buried, and he had resurrected, and the sisters that noticed it first had reported it, brought the news to the brethren. And there were these two brethren going to a place called Emmaus, and they were discussing what was happening. And just before you knew it, Jesus was with them. Brother Chijoke mentioned this yesterday. And he had joined them and he was discussing and getting along with them. He said, "What is these things you people are talking about? What are these things you people are talking about?" He said, "Are you a new man? Are you the only man in Jerusalem that doesn't know what has happened?" And they went on, and he was with them. And they went and reached a point. He did as if he would just continue. They said, "Come in now, it's getting late. Come and be with us. Sup with us." So he went in and they still didn't recognize him as Lord. Bible said that their eyes were closed, that they could not recognize him. So when it was time to eat, there was a special manner that he always broke the bread and gave them. So as they brought food, he took the bread. As he broke it, they recognized him and he was out of sight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. And then they ran back to fellowship. That was their way. I pray that that should be our way. Whatever experience they had, they ran back to fellowship and reported it. There was a day they caught them and they flogged them for preaching the gospel. They ran back to fellowship and they reported it to the brethren. And they prayed. Hallelujah. So 36. And as they thus spake, they were discussing these things. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them. Sorry. As they thus spake, there was a loud knock at the door. Then somebody opened the door and Jesus came in. Is that not what your Bible says? Okay. It says, and as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them. Amen. They were just talking, suddenly see him standing in the midst of them. And said unto them, "Peace be unto you." But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, "Why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts rise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I.
myself. It is not my ghost. It is I, myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as ye see me have. Amen. Now let's talk about, let's say, bodies. Amen. Human, or if you like, beast. I use beast in the sense of animals. Bible says that the life of the beast is in the blood. Amen. Amen. Every animal, what makes him or it what it is in his blood. It's the blood that carries the traits. Am I right, Rochijoke? Yes. The traits. It's the blood that carries it. Amen. So those things that are genetic, those things that are inherited, those things that go from parent to child, from child to grandchild, they are born in the blood. So the Bible says that the life of the beast is in the blood. So what is the makeup of the beast? You have body, or if you like, flesh. Flesh, bone, and blood. Amen. Amen. And what it does here is that if you see something standing and you go and do like this, and you can touch it, you know that it is a human being. Amen. But if you see a man standing and you go and do like this and your hand goes whoop. Your hand goes through whoop, and he's still standing there whoop. You know that it's not a human being. It's a spirit. So spirits is just air. Just like breeze. Amen. But Jesus said that touch me, handle me, and see that I am not air. It is I myself. A spirit does not have flesh and bone. So Christ, flesh and bone, no blood. Amen. Flesh and blood cannot enter the kingdom of God. Neither does incorruption. So, neither does corruption. Amen. So, the traits that bring about corruption found in the blood. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That is why a very old man can do certain things. Say, at this age, yes. Because it's inside the blood. Amen. So, what is the difference then? Jesus, his body, after he resurrected, the body he had, called the glorious body of Jesus Christ, had flesh and bone. Amen. In other words, a different class, species if we use, a different type of human being with body. It is body, all right, but it is a different type of body. Amen. Because one body differs from another body in glory. So the blood, the body he had, is a body that is in a higher glory than the one we have. That's why he could just appear in their midst. But you and I need to knock, and the door will be opened before we could enter. Hallelujah. So he was wearing the body. This is natural body. This is celestial body. Heavenly body. Or if you like, you call it spiritual body. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, let's look at this. Some men preach an error
They say when you are born again, you are a spirit. That's not true. You're not a spirit. But you can live a spiritual life by living according to the will of God. But you're not a spirit. Because you still have flesh and blood. Hallelujah. So, we have to be careful what things we receive. People are teaching that you are a spirit. It is not true. It's wrong. It's unscriptural. Hallelujah. So, at resurrection, we will put on this celestial body. This spiritual body of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Now let's talk more about this spiritual body. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And I'm beginning to think that's where I may be stopping. If questions are asked later, then other scriptures may come up to explain. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Doom, read for us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. You're going to read from verse 13.
But I will
not. No, stand so that everybody will see you. Can you see him? He's head and shoulder. Okay.
But I will not have you to be ignorant, brethren, considering them which are asleep.
Concerning
them which are asleep, sir. Now ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope.
We discussed this yesterday, so I won't discuss it. Go on.
For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him.
This is Jude. This scripture is Jude. In Jude, he said that the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment. So them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Jesus. Amen. Go on, 15.
For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that which by we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord.
Sorry. Hold on a little. Let me wipe here. There are some things I must write down. Now, just start that verse again.
Yeah. For this we say unto you.
Now let everybody pay proper attention. Go again.
For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep.
Go on.
For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words.
Amen. Amen. You see those words? They can comfort a child of God in any situation. Amen. If you've lost a dear one to death, you can be comforted by this word. Amen. If you have lost money to thieves, you can be comforted by this word. If you have been denied promotion in your office, this word can comfort you. Whatever thing it is, this word can bring comfort. Amen. But let's look at what we see there. Because there are words here. See this word, rise. Caught up, cloud, air, so. They are the words that have introduced error and confusion over the matter of resurrection. And it has diverted people's attention away from resurrection, which is what the Bible teaches, and which is what we should hope for, and pursuing after which we will have life. Unto another thing, a fable that is called rapture. Amen. Now, let's look at that. It says that the dead in Christ shall rise first. Now, there are two dimensions that this word rise can apply. In boarding houses, there is something called rising bell. Do you know, have you heard rising bell before? Come on. Have you heard rising bell before? Good. Now, when the rising bell goes, it means wake up from your sleep. Sit up or stand up. If you don't, a prefect or a house parent will come to you and say, rise. Can clap his hand. Rise, 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 rise. It doesn't mean start flying. It means get up from the position of lying down that you are in and come up from your sleep and be awake. Amen. Jesus went to that girl and said, Talita Kumi, young damsel or young girl, do what? Arise. The girl did not start flying. Amen. So when he says, the dead in Christ shall rise first, it means that the dead in Christ will be the first to wake up, come up from sleep. He did not say the dead in Christ will be the first to start flying. Rise can also mean, that is wake. Rise can also mean to gain an increment. If you are working in a place and you are doing well and the people are fair, you'll be rising in status. Amen. You may have been employed as a recruit. Then you can rise and become a corporal. You can rise and become a surgeon. You can rise and become a staff surgeon. Major general, you are rising. Hallelujah. You are not flying and disappearing. Amen. Amen. Now let's look at that scripture carefully. Let's go back there and let's look at it carefully. 15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain. I want you, brethren, to pay proper attention about this, because many of us do not understand the teaching of resurrection. I don't want to say the teaching of rapture, because you don't teach rapture. But you go out, you encounter rapture. You should be able to understand what they are saying and know how to handle it. So pay attention, because it's a problem for you people, I believe. Amen. And it is shaking the stand and faith of some. So here, let's pay attention. That we which are alive and remain shall not prevent... remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. That word prevent actually should be precede in modern English. We will not go before them. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. They will manifest first. They will wake first. Hallelujah. Why is this so? Why is this so? Okay, I'll come to that a little bit later. What's the next word there? Caught up. So, they will arise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. So the next expression there that is problematic is caught up. Amen. Now, caught up is the past of catch up. Is that true? Now, those that preach rapture, they say rapture is the catching away of the saints. Amen. Now, catching away and catching up are not the same. Catching away means taking out. And we're going to look at it because it means a different thing altogether. The catching up is to meet up. Amen. He said, look, I don't like the way you're performing. If you go on this way, you're going to make a low grade. Better work harder and catch up. Amen. A parent will call and say, Mr. Uriah, my child was sick and away from school for 2 weeks. I'm bringing him back. So what can you people do to help him to catch up? Amen. If you're running in a race and you're lagging behind, your fans will say, wake up! Come on, go, 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 go! Catch up! Amen. They want you to catch up with those other people because they are ahead of you. That's what the Bible is saying, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ will not precede those that are asleep. They will rise first. Amen. And come into a place in God we are going to see. And those of us now who are behind, as it were, who are alive, will now be helped by God to catch up with them. Amen. Now, do you know why they are going to rise first? Because they're coming with him. Amen. They have been in glory with him. When a believer dies, he goes to be with the Lord. So where he's coming with them. And we who are alive have to join the throng to be with them. Hallelujah. And now, how is it going to be? Where are we meeting them? Where are we meeting them? In the sky? Is that what the Bible says? We will see. So, what's the word now? Shall be caught up together with them. We're looking at verse 17. In the clouds. Amen. It's not talking about cumulumbus. Who is the geographer here? The lumbus and the cumulus cloud. That's not what... It's not talking about this place. That's not what it's talking about. Let's read Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 1. Better pay attention now. Some are not showing interest. After you say, wait, this thing is not clear. God is making it very clear now. Paul said, behold, I show you a mystery. Amen. So 12 verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and so on and so on. So great a cloud of witnesses. What is this thing? When you read your Bible, do you think about what I'm reading? What is it? We are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. What is that? Can somebody make an attempt? So great a cloud of witnesses. What is it? If you step backwards to verse 11, you will get it. Verse 11 is giving a list of men of faith, Moses, Abraham, Gideon, Rahab, you know, all those men, he listed them. Then he came to verse 1 of this other chapter. He is making a reference to them. Having therefore so great a cloud of witnesses that is made up of men like Abraham, Moses, Jephthah, Gideon, and so on and so forth. He called them a great cloud of witnesses. Amen. Amen. Now, since Jesus rose from the dead, any man that died in Christ went to join that cloud of witnesses. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just to avoid emotion, I would have started mentioning some names of brethren who have been with us, who have gone into that cloud. I remember Sister Rose Edet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. One Sunday she was sitting by my side. Weekend, Monday, I hear she has gone to glory. Amen. Amen. Our brother was shot on the leg. Prof. Philip. One day I saw him come to a camp meeting. in my dream, was in a dream, I saw him come to a camp meeting. Hallelujah. And I said, Bro Philip, a long time. He said, yes. I said, and death was no longer to me like, I said, you died. He said, yes. I said, how were you able to come to camp meeting? He said, yes. At times the Lord gives permission that we should come. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, the time we used to meet in Bromike's house, we were in fellowship. This one was physical. We were in fellowship, and I was sitting. Then I looked to one chair. There was an empty chair by the door. I looked to one chair. I saw Brihoma seated there. I looked this way. Looked again. He was no longer there. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, what are we saying? Brethren that die, they go to be with the Lord. They go to join the cloud of witnesses. So he says, since we know that we have this so great cloud with the Lord, watching what we are doing, they have run the race. They have gone now. And they are waiting for us to complete it so that the Lord will begin to share perfection. Hallelujah. They have completed their course. They are now waiting for us, because the Lord will not begin to share the things until everybody has completed his own. Then he will begin to say, hey, you got this. Come and take this. Amen. You know, it is not when somebody finishes writing his paper and what, like in YX, some people finish their own exams. They go home. While some are still writing other subjects like technical drawing and those, they are still in school. You will not begin to do graduation ceremony and give prizes to those who have gone when these people have not finished their own exams. No, you must wait. That's what the Lord is doing. Hallelujah. They will not get the crowns of perfection. They will not until we have run our race. Hallelujah. So, but when the time comes, they are going to be the first to be with the Lord. In that sense of true resurrection. And then we who are alive and remain will be helped to catch up with them. Because we're not going to pass through the process of death, physical death and resurrection. There will be a shortcut for us, as it were, to catch up with them. Hallelujah. 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 And then, what does this say? To catch up with them in the cloud. The cloud is talking about is the cloud of witnesses. Already they are part of the cloud of witnesses. They will catch up with them to become also part of the cloud of witnesses. It is not this one. You know, people understand in the physical. Paul was saying, when the Bible says, muzzle not the ox that threshes the corn, does God care for ox? No. He was using it as a symbol to talk about the ministers that labor in the world. Amen. Hallelujah. So, also, when he's talking about cloud here, he's not talking about this physical cloud. He's talking about brethren. Hallelujah. Amen. And I have a conviction that Jesus, when he ascended, the cloud that received him was not ordinary cloud. Brethren, what do you think? It was the cloud of witnesses, the brethren. Hallelujah. 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 And then he says, I'm getting it mixed up. What's that verse? What's that verse? Verse 17. Okay. Okay, my Bible flipped over, so I got mixed up. Okay, 4. 17. Okay. Okay. In the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. This word, in the air. It's not talking about meeting the Lord in the sky. Praise God. Now, that place we read in Luke, Jesus said, hello? Jesus said, touch me. Check me out. Because I am not spirit. Now, that word spirit there is pneuma. Pneuma. You know the tires we use today? They are pneumatic tires. Tires were not always like that. The earliest cars, their tires were just steel, round steel. So it goes... Before then, they had cats, like trucks. Their tires were made of wood. So it would go... Then they made this one now, tires, and they fill the tire with air. And they are called pneumatic tires. That is, tires that run on air. So Jesus said, touch me and see that I'm not spirit, which is air, but I am flesh. It is I myself, flesh and bone. Hallelujah. So when he says we are going to meet the Lord in the air, he's talking about in the realm of the spirits. So we meet them in this thing that is called cloud. And then we'll meet the Lord in the spirit. We'll become men that operate in the spirit. Jesus said, Nathanael, he told Nathanael that I knew thee. When you were under the fig tree, I knew thee. I saw thee. He said, you are a prophet. He said, now, because I've told you that, you are now talking. See, you're going to see the greater things. After now, you're going to see the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. What that means is that in Christ, the demarcation between the spirit and the natural will be broken. Men will be flowing in the heavenlies and upon this realm at the same time. Paul had a foretaste of it. And he said, I know a man in the spirit. Hallelujah. And that he ascended unto the third heavens. And he was able to see and hear things that should not be mentioned. He had a foretaste of it. And God is bringing us into where our everyday life is that I am walking along the road, but I am dwelling in the heavens. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, that's what it means to reign with him. To reign with Christ. That's what it means. That's the life of Jesus Christ. In John 14, he says, I go to prepare a place for you. And when I am done, I'll come and take you to myself. So that where I am, there you shall be. Mark, he did not say, so that where I will be. He said, where I am. He was already there while on earth here. Life of heaven on earth. Hallelujah. So, and the fulfillment of that word, I will come and take you to myself, is at resurrection, when we will join the cloud of witnesses to be with the Lord. Now, mark the word, and so, and not and there. If it was going to be in one planet, it would have been, and there shall we ever be with the Lord. But it says, and so, which means it's a condition and state of life. Here. But in another manner of life. Life in the spirit. And in that manner of life, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, what the devil is doing is to turn our eyes and hearts away from these things so that we desire and believe a lie. Amen. But God wants us to believe the truth. Praise God. One of the things that hit the Chinese church so hard was the teaching of rapture. When the communists were coming, they said, well, no problem. Before they come through the city gate, rapture will have taken place and we'll all be gone. Hallelujah. And the communists came and they were not raptured. They passed through the difficulty of tribulation, persecution. Many of them were using the pages of their Bible as toilet tissue because they say it's a lie. Hallelujah. That is what it means to believe a lie. Hallelujah. That is one of the contentions against resurrection. You know, there have been contentions against resurrection. Those people began to mock Jesus. If this person marries that one and that one, that was a contention. Rapture is a contention against resurrection. And you know that many Christians hardly talk about resurrection. What they talk about is rapture. But the Lord wants us to set our hearts on the glory of resurrection. Hallelujah. When Jesus shall appear, we shall see him as he is. So when Jesus, who is our life, shall appear. Amen. He said, this we know, that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. Therefore, any man that had this hope in him, purifieth himself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And there are so many things that illustrate it. I expect people to ask questions that will lead to more explanations, like what is in Matthew chapter 13 and what is in Matthew chapter 24 from verse 37, where it says, as it was in the day of Noah. Amen. Let's read that one. Matthew 24. Hey, I finished you today. You are so tired and I'm still getting on. Amen. Matthew 24. Let's turn to it. Amen. Verse 37. Are you there? But as the day of Noah, that Noah there is Noah, as the day of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not. They kept eating and drinking, marrying. They did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Amen. You know, we are talking about the catching away of the saints. Taking away. Who are the people that are taken away? The ungodly. Amen. They were eating and drinking, marrying, buying and selling, until the flood came and took them all away. And Noah and his household remained because they were in the ark. Jesus is that ark. And he's saying, get into the ark now. Hallelujah. The flood is coming to sweep away the ungodly. That's what the Revelation said. Revelation said that when the man child was born and was taken away, that dragon was angry. And he sent forth a flood. Amen. And that flood was helped. That's the man child was helped because the earth swallowed the flood. Amen. So when the venom of the devil is coming, when the destruction is coming upon the earth, those that have followed down will have become immortal. Amen. And when the devil cannot do them anything, because he will come against the people of God, but he will discover that death is swallowed up in victory. Amen. He will be bringing his venom and will be saying, death, where is your sting? Where is your sting? You know, people didn't understand this. That's why they manufactured rapture. They say, how can God destroy? He's coming to destroy. How will he destroy the righteous with the ungodly? Therefore, there must be a way to fly off. No, you're going to be here. But the destruction cannot have effect on you because you have become immortal. And so when he can't do anything, he will bounce back and use the ungodly to make suya. Amen. Hallelujah. He will bounce back on them. That's what it means when he said that the earth opened its mouth and swallowed the flood. That was which was meant for the ungodly. It was meant to destroy the godly. It is now the ungodly that will get it. Escape for your life. Run into the ark now. Hallelujah. But you see who was affected. What's the other scripture? That's the other scripture. Good. What's the other scripture that says tush? It's the same scripture, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Good. Next verse, verse 40. Let's go on, brethren. Open your Bible. Follow it. Understand it now. This is our chance. Amen. Verse 40. Then shall two be in the field. The one shall be taken and the other left. We believed, or people had believed, that of the two, it is the child of God, the Christian, that will be taken away in rapture. No. Don't you read well. This is my ordinary comprehension. Just use your common sense even. But the Spirit of God should help us. But even if we were to use your common sense, ordinary comprehension, look at the antecedent and you will catch it. He said that in the day of Noah, they were all there doing the same thing. They were in the same classrooms. They were in the same workplaces. They were in the same fellowship. Amen. And the flood came. The flood of judgment and destruction came and took away the ungodly and destroyed them. Amen. But Noah and his family remained. Therefore, verse 40, in the same way, verse 40, then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Noah was left. The ungodly were taken. But in this case now, the same scenario. Then you come here now, you reverse it the other way. Don't you understand? If it was the ungodly that were taken by the flood and Noah and his family remained alive, then it simply follows that in this one, when there are two people in the field, one is taken and the other remains. The person that remains is Noah, the righteous. The person taken is the ungodly for destruction. I don't know whether it doesn't make sense. Two men shall be grinding at the meal. The one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord comes. I want to wrap it up, please, to make it clearer. Let's read Matthew 13. I was talking about the parable of the sower. Verse 24 to 30. In verse 24 to 30, a parable is given. Verse 36 to 43 explains the parable, because that's the manner of Jesus. He'll give the parable, then he'll call his disciples aside and explain it to them. That's why he has called us aside in this meeting now, so that he can explain things to us. Hallelujah. So, Matthew chapter 13. Maybe Brother Matthew will read it for us. It's good for Brother Matthew to read Matthew. Chapter 13. Sorry. Yes, chapter 13. Verse 24 to 30. Now, that's the way we are going to read it. We are not going to rush it. You'll be reading and I'll be writing. We'll take out this side. Again, we are going to draw a simple table. Here is parable. Here is meaning. Okay, start reading from verse 24.
Matthew 13.
Now, I will advise you to get out your notes and do the same thing. It will be useful for you tomorrow.
Matthew 13:24.
Your voice is so deep. Do we understand? Can you get what he is reading?
Yeah.
Can you lighten it a little? Yes.
Okay. Another parable puts he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field.
Good. So this is the part two of the parable of the sower. Okay.
But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, Then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir,
what verse?
Sir, did not thou sow good seed in the field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, An enemy had done this. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? And he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you very much. Okay, we'll skip now to 36. Are we there? He says, Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house. And his disciples came unto him, saying, Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. So there was a man that was a sower. The sower or farmer who sowed the good seed. So he that soweth the good seed is who? The Son of Man. That's the meaning. Who is the Son of Man? Who is the Son of Man in our Jesus? Okay. So he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. And the field, that's the next thing there. Can somebody be helping me to read them? So we have, first thing here is the sower. The other one is field, where he sowed the seed. It's where? What? The world. You will see what will happen now. Okay, what's the next thing? Bring everything. Good seed. He said the good seed did what? The good seed, children of the kingdom. Amen. What's the next one? The tares. How is it spelled? T-A-R-E-S. The person that wants to help me do this, take a mic. Give him a mic. So I'll be getting him clearly. So the tares are what? Yes, children of?
The wicked. Children of the wicked.
Of the wicked.
Of the wicked one.
What's the next thing? What's the next one?
The enemy.
That
sowed. The enemy.
That sowed. The harvest. Okay. So we have harvest.
Okay. The enemy first. The enemy is the devil. The enemy that sowed.
Oh, the enemy. Good. Is the devil. Number six. What's the next thing?
The harvest.
The harvest. The end of the world.
Yes.
Yes.
Reapers.
The reapers are the angels. You know, he said he will send his reapers and they will gather up the tares. So the reapers
are the angels.
are the angels.
Angels. Angels.
Yes, what else?
Is there anything else?
Good. So, this is it. He said, as therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire. Because that's what he said. The angels will go and gather the tares out of the field and burn them. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the field, so shall it be in the end of this world that what will happen? The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of the kingdom. Amen. They shall gather out of the kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity. Hello? The field where he has planted the good seed is the world. In this same field, the enemy came and planted the children of the wicked. He says, at the end, he will send his angels and they will go and gather all them that offend and all them that do iniquity. They are the ones that are gathered out. They are the ones that are taken out. Do you catch it? Hello? Do you follow it? So he will gather them out of the field, and what will happen? And shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth, and what? Then shall the righteous, when the wicked, children of the wicked one have been taken away, what will remain on earth, in the world, in the field, are the righteous. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who has ears to hear? Let him hear. Some hear. Some it enters their ears. They don't hear. They don't understand. Understand it. That it is not the believer that is to be taken away. It's the wicked that will be pulled out. The weeds will be taken out. So that the good seed, the weeds will be taken away. The weeds, weed, W-E-E-D-S. The weeds, that is the tares, will be taken away so that the weeds, the children of the kingdom, will shine forth in the kingdom of our Father. This place is our Father's kingdom. A brother sang a song. He says, this is my Father's world. Hallelujah. So the wicked ones who are doing all they are doing, it is for a time. They'll be taken away, and then we will flourish in the kingdom of our God and serve our God the way we ought in this place. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord.